you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. It is greatly appreciated. In the second part of the podcast, we talk about stress and health, helping others, and life-changing events. You'll notice that there are two recording tracks. That's because after editing the podcast, I realized that our post-podcast chat had so many gems of wisdom, I just had to include it. So enjoy both, and most of all, enjoy Anne Lorimer. But now, you have Machu Picchu planned for next year?
I do. In June, we're going to do the Inca Trail, which is one of the five most hiked trails in the world, they say, and then go on up to Machu Picchu. And I'm looking forward to it. They have beautiful arts and crafts there in Peru. And I just have read about it for a long time. My sister did it, I think when she was about 51. And I thought she was old. So now I'm going to do it. And Pat, with luck, hold a good thought, my daughter and my granddaughter will hike with me.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And again, it's for a cause. And if they did, it would be, you know, just a real attention getter.
Oh, I think that would be just incredible. I've not been to Machu Picchu, but it is on the list.
It is a beautiful, beautiful ruin. They tell me something really that you'll never forget seeing. And that my daughter, my granddaughter, and I have made trips together before. We went up the Amazon once, and we went over in the Caribbean another time. So that I'd love it if they could come. But she's worried a little bit about COVID. I'm hoping that by June of next year, it'll all be over. But there has been the spike in cases because of the variant. And I'm just careful. I feed myself well. I try hard to get enough sleep, although I don't. And I try not to get stressed. You know, if I get stressed, I'll vent and then I'll take it back and go on with what I'm doing. And use, for me, one of the things that relaxes me most is just to read something light, something funny or something, a good story. And I also get out in nature and just look out. And there's a biblical passage, I shall lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. And I've always got nourishment from mountains. I'm surrounded by them, which I'm very lucky.
Is there a spiritual component in that connection with the outdoors?
I think there's a spiritual component with almost every aspect of my life. I was brought up religious and I changed to spirituality. And I do think that it's important. And I feel that I do get help from the higher power. And I like the idea that if you put things out, the universe helps you. There's so many things that I really feel strongly about. And yes, I do believe that. And in the smallest things, like the little flowers, we've had these monsoons here in Phoenix, and there's green all over and flowers coming out, and the Ocotillo are all lush. And it just speaks to me. It really nourishes my soul.
Do you miss New Mexico at all?
Oh, of course. I missed it terribly. I got sick when I first started out because I wanted so badly to stay, because it has beautiful mountains. In fact, where we lived, it looked like a sort of miniature Grand Canyon with lovely colors in the mountains and trees. And it was, and I did love it. I hiked every day, and it was a place I loved. And I had a new dog, and that made life so important. But you know, I moved on. When I first saw Arizona, it was bleak and just I don't know, so stark and bare. But now I love the desert as well as I love the mountains back in New Mexico.
I think there's beauty everywhere.
Exactly. You just have to learn to adapt to it if you're used to a different kind, because we don't have very many trees out here, but we have lots and lots of beautiful rocks, and I love those.
Do you do much hiking in the rocks?
Oh, yes. I train every day. I go up the mountain by my house, and from time to time I go to other mountains. We go up north to Coconino County, and I climbed Humphreys before one of the climbs, and I do some of the other mountains around there. You have to keep in trim. When you're my age, you don't want to get unfit. It'd be awfully hard to get it back. So I
think at any age it's really hard.
Well, I do remember reading about John McDonald, and he had this Travis McGee who let himself go every time between, and then he'd have to get himself back up to shape again before he did his job. Well, I can't do that. I have to keep going. And so I climb every day and swim a lot of times, and I enjoy it. Fortunately, I enjoy it. And in about November, I think, I'm going to go back to my trainer who will help me with my core strength, and we'll start doing the machines and all that kind of thing.
Is that in preparation for Machu Picchu?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I worked with him. His name is Scott Marsh, and he has mind and body strengthening in Tempe, and he was wonderful. He'd tailor his programs to your age, your condition, and purpose so that I felt really well prepared the second time. And I, if he hadn't done it, I'm not sure that with the condition I was in, I would have made it if I hadn't had that training with him. I think probably I wouldn't have.
Yeah, climbing with three broken ribs is, I can't even imagine. That had to hurt a lot.
Oh, it hurt. But, and the thing was, you had to keep breathing past it. My doctor was amazed that I didn't get pneumonia or anything, but I knew that I had to keep breathing and I had to keep oxygenated, so I did it.
In doing a little research for this, I came across something I never knew about you, and that is that you had lymphoma 30 years ago.
Yes, I did. I might even be a little more than 30 now because I've been well for a long, long time. I think I was doing everything then. I was getting exercise. I was eating well. I was doing all those things, but I was stressed beyond measure. I was in a department that had never had a woman before, and it's hard. It's hard enough to do your job, but it's doubly hard when you know that people think you probably shouldn't even be there. I went to the party that they held when we first started, and I went to the woman's house, and she comes to the door shaking her head. We don't, you know, take any sales. So anyway, I told them that I was on the faculty, and, you know, but there were things like that that did happen that were a little painful.
Did the cancer change the way you look at the world in any way?
I think so. First of all, I said to the doctor, what are my chances that I'll be alive in a year? He said, oh, about 50-50. Huh. And I said, no, I'm going to be here. And so I began to read all kinds of books and do all kinds of meditation, biofeedback, and relaxation exercises. And I said to my doctor, now, I want to do all these things. You're treating me. I have to have help. Obviously, I let myself go to the point it couldn't be helped. But I said, is there anything here that will conflict with what you're doing? He said, oh, go ahead. So I did. And I did all those things. And people prayed for me. And I know that helped.
Well, I think seeking out those so-called alternative, I don't want to call it alternative, complementary types of things makes a really big difference because you're looking after your overall health.
And some of the people that I was in groups with, they did die from their cancer. But I said, I'm not. I have not completed my work in this world.
Too much to do, too many adventures
exactly.
to have.
Well, and people to help. You know, that's so important to me. Because let me tell you a little example. When I went to grad school, I had to work my way. I got an assistantship, but I needed more. And so I was a nanny for professors' kids. And, oh, those kids, they had their room just full of books, and I read them a book every night, or two or three if they wanted it. And they just knew things. The little three-year-old talked to me about Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Maseratis, and I was so impressed, you know. And we used to do what they called swing and sing. They had their swing, and I'd get up there, and I'd sing songs to them while we swung. And so a lot of times when I was taking care of them, especially, they'd sing, and no more, let's swing and sing. And so we do that. Well, then I went during the semester break, back to home to see my mother. And down the street from her was a family that went to her church. And we went to see them. And there were two twins. There were two bright little boys. I didn't see a single book in the house. I didn't see a newspaper or anything. And they just... I just felt like they weren't getting the kind of connections and opportunities they needed. And I thought, that's not fair. And somebody's got to level this playing field. And so I started working at it in my own way. I've done lots of volunteer work. I work with Family Promise, which is transitional homeless. They come to the church and you feed them for a week and they have a place to sleep and they have games and I help the other people with the crafts and things. As I said, we serve them, we feed them, and then I stay overnight a lot of times. You have to have a host to be sure that there's somebody to take care of them if there's any problem during the night in the church facilities. And I love doing that. And I also make sandwiches for homeless men who are employed. They're working, but they have to have some food. And so we make wonderful sandwiches for them about four times a year, about a week at a time at our church. And I love doing those things. I help Rosie's House. That is a music academy for underserved kids. And they don't let them get away without, you know, just hosting. They have to keep their grades up and they have to practice. I think it's about 20 to 30 minutes a day. And so all those things I like to be involved in because I think I want to give other kids the kind of hope that I felt when I was young. I did not feel I was going to be there forever. And I don't want them to feel that way either.
I think having a cause greater than yourself is really important in terms of just getting up in the morning and feeling motivated.
Oh, it is. It is. It's so important. And that's what the advice that I give people is to, that it's never too late to learn and grow. And you want never to stop. Just don't let anything deter you from what you found to do. And then again, when you found your focus, never, ever quit, but pivot if you need to.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.